Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast is recorded on Aboriginal land and recognize the strength, resilience, and capacity of the Turrbal and Yuggera people in this land.
Hey, Mel.
Hey, Taylor.
Oh, I've lost my joke.
Uh-oh.
What did the hungry Dalmatian say when he had some kibble?
Oh, well, what?
That hit the spot.
Book, book, hello.
Book, book, hello.
Welcome back.
I never know who's going to take the lead, so I'm just like,
surprise.
Meep.
Welcome back to the Floof and Papa podcast. I'm here with Taylor.
And Mel.
That's me.
That's very weird. We did it backwards, so it sounds it like I'm Mel and you're Taylor. That would be weird. You don't look like a Taylor.
I feel like you could pull off a Mel.
I feel like if you were Taylor, you'd be a super preppy Taylor.
Preppy?
Yeah.
Am I a super preppy Mel?
No. You're a down-to-earth Mel.
Oh, thanks.
Yep.
So, dogs.
Yep. What you got?
I got a story for you.
Tell me now.
Delivered to us very kindly by producer Zane. It's the story.
That's cheating. I have to find my own stories. Oh.
I have other ones as well. But it's the story of the Maremma sheepdog and little penguin protector that retired after 9 years on Cute. Middle Island.
Go now. Do it.
We're on ABC News. Thanks, Ooh, Emma Noble. Yeah.
We legit this week.
Thanks, Zane. After almost a decade spent protecting a famed little penguin colony in southwest Victoria in Australia from fox predation, Tula, the Maremma sheepdog, is hanging up her lead.
Go back again.
Uh-oh.
I missed a bit.
Which bit?
Sheepspination?
What? Tula, the Maremma sheepdog?
I don't know. Something just... did not compute in my
Maremma.
Brain.
Maremma?
That's all right. I'll Maremma. Listen back to it later. Keep going.
Along with her sister Yudi, 11-year-old Tula has been guarding breeding penguins on Middle Island near... even my eyesight's not good for this. Near
I have my glasses if you need to borrow them.
Warrnambool. No, I refuse to get glasses. I'm very stubbornly not getting my eyes tested.
That's dumb.
near Warrnambool? Since she was just 2 years old. Now with new Maremma pup Mezzo training to be a penguin protector, Tula can look forward to a well-deserved retirement.
Aww.
She's real sweet. She looks real fluffy. She's got a bit of arthritis, so she finds it really difficult to get up all those flights of stairs onto the top of Middle Island, said Middle Island Project Coordinator Patricia Corbett. Despite being slower than she once was, Tula will not be completely stepping away from her role. She will be protecting chickens at a farm... that they rest at, and she'll also be helping us train our younger guardian dogs.
What is she protecting the chickens from? What's coming
snakes?
For the chickens? How does dogs protect from snakes?
Bark, bark, bark.
Oh. Are snakes afraid of barks?
I guess.
I'm going to Google that right now.
Yeah, do it.
Snakes afraid of barks.
And we have this little quote. Maremmas don't like to not have a job, so she's going to be continuing on her role in a different way. The Middle Island Maremma Project began in 2006 after fox predation saw a sharp decline in the island's little penguin population.
Oh, no.
Did you find out about snakes?
Yeah, they're afraid of dogs.
Great. Confirmed. At the time, fewer than 10 penguins remained. Marimmas, large white dogs originally bred to protect flocks of sheep. Yep. Maybe before you predicted me stumbling over that.
Yep.
Because that's exactly what happened.
Let's go with that.
Which we've talked about before on the podcast, Maremmas, were placed on the island to protect the penguins during the breeding season. The dogs bond with the flightless birds and guard against predators such as foxes, which plague Warrnambool's foreshore and can cross to nearby Middle Island on the sand during low tide.
I only got about half the words you just said.
Should I say it again?
No, I think my brain is just not computing... today. I don't know what's going on, but like you're saying stuff and I'm like, I don't know if that was in English. I'm very tired, to be fair.
That's true.
exhausted, y'all.
The project, managed by Warrumbull City Council, famously inspired the 2015 film Oddball, which I haven't seen, but it looks really cute.
I know that movie.
Penguin numbers have been increasing until... Increasing until? Oh, penguin numbers had been increasing until in August 2017 when 140 little penguins...
Oh, if you're going to say something sad, please don't.
Almost the entire colony were wiped out by foxes. This was not a lapse in the dog's ability. It's just the dogs are away from the island due to bad weather. Sorry, penguins. That's
foxes.
Nature.
Foxes! Swiper, no swiping. An entire colony of penguins.
Poor little penguins. There's one family of really fat foxes in April 2017.
What a steal, though. If you were those if you were those like foxes, wouldn't you just be stoked? Yeah. Wouldn't you be like, this is the best day ever?
Oh, dear.
Man, I really like foxes too, but not in this scenario.
Yeah. Despite one especially cunning fox causing trouble on the island this year, the penguin population has been recovering. Maroma's work in pairs on the island, so the dogs are not lonely, but working intensely together has its challenges. Middle Island Project Officer John Sutherland has worked with Tula and Yudi since the day they arrived in Warrumbull. They're sisters from the same litter, he said.
I'm just sisters trying. From another litter.
Yeah. We learned very quickly we'll never do that again. Dang.
Never do that again.
They're the best of mates. They get on great.
Wait a minute. If the weather was bad,
yeah,
shouldn't the humans have gone in the place of the dogs? What were we doing?
That's fair. Maybe it was really bad and they didn't want humans there either. But yeah, poor penguins.
Poor penguins.
They're the best of mates. This is in regards to Tula and Yudi. They get on great with each other, but every now and then they just have that blue. They just have that blue. I've never heard that before. Just like sisters.
Have the blues? What?
Now and again, they have that blue. A blue is a fight, thank you, producer Zane.
Oh, I've never heard that.
Neither have I.
What, like you got, like, oh, I got into a bit of a blue last night?
Oh.
Weird.
Okay. Despite some sibling rivalry, there we go. Tula guarded her penguin colony ferociously, and as the island's lead guardian, she was the dog who would bark first.
Bark.
Her handlers know her as a loyal girl and the smallest Maroma in the group. Tula's a very sweet dog. You can see her looking lovingly into your eyes, Ms. Corbett said. Goodbye, Tula. After years on the program, Tula will celebrate her retirement with a sentimental farewell, surrounded by those who worked with her. We're going to have a special cake for her. We'll send her off in style. That's so cute, Ms. Corbett said.
They're like, oh, sorry, we made it out of sugar. You can't have any. Bye.
I hope they listened to the podcast and worked out how to make a cake for the dog. I don't know. Insert some kind of plug here. Okay. Even though you're listening to the podcast already, if you heard this.
We don't need a plug yet.
Yeah,
thanks for listening.
She goes on to say, I'm not 100% sure which cake I'm going to make just yet. Oh, it will probably be
probably
some
one
form
from the Floof and Popper podcast.
Some form of meatloaf with either a peanut butter frosting or a mashed potato frosting.
Mashed potato? Can dogs have mashed potato?
Yeah, without salt.
Oh, then what's the point?
Anyway, that's the quote that the article ends on about the cake, which I appreciate.
So now I am genuinely worried about your eyesight. Do we need to like go take you to an optometrist or something?
Yeah, probably. It's free.
Glasses
I should
cool.
do it.
I've had glasses since I was 8 and I didn't get bullied at all. But they're cool now. They came in trend after a while. Also, we just got a follower on Instagram in real time.
No way.
So I'm going to shout out, take notice of Otis. Oh, no, wait. That was from 2 weeks ago. Hang on.
But also shout out.
But also, hey, take notice of Otis. Oh, no, I can't find you. Where's the new person that liked us? Oh, I can't Instagram. I can't find them. Anyway, if you liked us at 4:53 p.m. on a Sunday, Brisbane time, shouts out.
Thank you. We love you. We appreciate you.
It,
even though we have no idea who you are.
One new follower. Well.
Yeah. And that's the story of our beautiful Maroma sheepdog,
okay.
Tula.
Yeah, retiring.
That's so cute.
Chula.
I like penguins. I like penguins too. Also foxes, but not so much this
story. I really like foxes, but not that was naughty foxes.
No, when they chomp on.
It wasn't really naughty. They were just doing their thing.
They're just being nature.
Sucks. Yeah. Bonjour, Melanie.
Oh, bonjour, Della.
Ooh la la, dogs.
Ooh la la.
Oh, wait, was it? What is it? Shen?
Shen?
Shen. I always knew Padasha because this cat in ballet, there's a step called Step of the Cat. It's called Padasha. But we don't have a step of the dog in ballet, or not that I know of. So Xian always took me longer to learn.
Well, there you go. Xian.
Xian. Talk about the French barbet dog.
Ah, that was good.
Hey. Wow, producer Zane. Yeah. Oh, you should have seen the reluctance with which he pressed that button. I was like, I totally set up a perfect.
That was so worth it.
You just so worth let me down. The one time we don't have Melanie on the key.
Yeah, right. I would have pressed the button, Zane.
But also, hey, welcome back to producer Zane, who's actually with us today. Oh, lol. Okay, so I haven't heard of this dog before. Have you?
No, tell me the name again.
It's Barbet, B-A-R-B-E-T. But I'm Barbet. Sure in French it's like Barbet.
Barbet.
Barbie dog.
Barbie dog.
Barbet.
Barbet.
Is a medium-sized French water dog.
He's so cute.
Yeah, right? Listed in group 8, retrievers, flushing dogs, water dogs by the Société Centrale Canine, which is the French kennel club.
Yes.
Yep. The breed name comes from the French word barbe, which means
beard. Oh, yeah.
Beard.
Of course, it's the same in Romanian. I should have known that.
It's the same in Romanian?
Yeah, barbe.
Barbe.
Is beard. Or chin, also. Weird.
The word for chin and beard is the same?
Yeah, also the word for hand and arm is the same. It's very confusing.
Whoa, that is confusing.
Yeah.
Romanian, what's going on there?
Anyway, this dog looks like an otterhound.
A little bit. They're kind of fuzzy, though.
They're cute.
They're fuzzy. They're a really rare breed.
Mm.
Most Barbets, especially those shown in confirmation shows, are entirely black, black and white, or brown. Are you Googling confirmation shows?
I am indeed.
Bless you. It is common to see white chest spots, white paws, or legs on black or brown coated dogs.
I have.
Yeah, do it. Go for
it. A confirmation show, also referred to as a breed show, is a kind of dog show in which a judge familiar with a specific dog breed evaluates individual purebred dogs for how well the dogs conform to the established breed type.
In the ballroom world, they call that proficiency grading.
Oh, scary. So that sounds scary.
Have, yeah, it is, which is why I don't do it. They have competitions, which are like against other dancers, and then they have proficiency grading, which is against yourself.
Dang.
Which is just like, how good are you at this dance? So I assume it's something akin to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. Something like that.
most Barbets usually grow to be about 53 to 64 centimeters tall and between 18 to 27 kilograms.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
Medium dog?
Yeah, medium flavor.
Medium to big?
Medium. The coats grow really long and must be groomed regularly, otherwise the coat can be matted. As with some other French dogs.
Hmm.
And the Barbet may lose small tufts of hair like tumbleweeds. That's what the article says.
Tumbleweeds.
Like tumbleweeds.
Same.
So accepted colors. These are not the ones that we frown upon. The accepted colors of the breed are solid black, brown, fawn, gray, pale fawn, white, or more or less pied. 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 What does that mean?
Like piebald? Like spotty.
Oh, that's cute.
Like patchy, more like.
Not like raspberry and like cream pie color.
No.
Oh, that would be cool though. All shades of red fawn and pale fawn are permitted. The shade should preferably be the same color as the body. Gray and white are extremely rare. Mixed colors except with white are considered a fault. How dare you?
That's harsh.
I assume they mean
in relation to confirmation shows.
Yeah, confirmation shows.
Yeah.
I don't think if you saw one walking down the street, you'd be like, fault.
Just cross your arms.
Incorrect. The most common colors are black or brown with white markings. The birth figures worldwide for 2007 were 176.
That's not a lot at all. Nope. Holy moly.
That would be considered endangered if it was like a wild animal,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. All born were black or brown with some white markings on the chest, chin, and legs. I don't have any current numbers for you. Sorry.
Unacceptable.
Sorry. Their personality is described as friendly, joyful, obedient, and intelligent. They are quick to learn and need lifelong obedience training. Damn. Hope you're ready for a mission. Great with children, families, and the elderly. Barbets will bond with their family and prefer to be in the same room with family at all times.
Oh.
They need exercise daily to keep the dog in a healthy state of mind, body, and spirit. It doesn't say spirit. I just wanted to add that.
I appreciated it a lot.
Thank you. They are capable retrievers for waterfowl hunting. In France, the Barbet can take the test de aptitudes naturelles, also known as TAN.
Good.
A basic water retrieving test, and recently have been permitted to participate in the brevet de chasse à l'eau.
Chasse.
Chase. A general hunting dog that involves field and water trials.
Mm.
In Germany, the Barbet also takes part in field trials. So there you go. The breed is an integral part of dog history. Many familiar breeds have Babette in their ancestry. Depending on geography and necessity, the Babette connected through the centuries in various capacities as a companion dog, but more as an all-around working dog. And the term Babette came through as a generic name for a dog with a long, curly, woolly coat.
Cute.
Yeah. So they've also worked as sailors' companions, like the Portuguese water dog. And they're best known for being a waterfowl retriever in the marshes, wetlands, and estuaries of France. This is where the expression muddy as a barbet came from in the 19th century.
Ah, yes, of course, the famous expression.
Your husband ever come home from work and you're just like, oh, you're muddy as a barbet.
Yes, often.
Get in the shower.
Gonna try and incorporate that in my normal
with your husband
life. Yes, yeah. With that husband that I have.
Sometimes I go to shops and I'll be like, oh, this is my husband's, can you help me fix it? And then they do
that's
it.
Fun.
I switch my ring to my ring finger.
That's fun.
It's fun to pretend to have a husband. Hey, with the advent of dog shows and selective breeding based purely on aesthetics, the poodles were developed to be more elegant and of a solid color to distinguish them from the more common progenitors. All right. The versatile nature of the Barbet has meant its survival, and many of today's Barbets still have traits of their ancestral stock lost in the poodle group.
Mm.
Poodles.
Got thanks, poodles.
Very few Barbets in the United States. Estimated Barbet numbers living in America in 2013 were between 150 and 200.
Mm.
Well, that's more than the 176 in 2007, so we're doing okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Cute.
That's most of what I got.
I like them a lot. They're real cool.
They're pretty cute.
Yeah.
They're fluffy as heck. I don't know about the lifelong obedience training, but there you go.
Yeah, they're smart dogs.
Majority of the Barbets in the UK are kept as pets, although a small number are used regularly as gun dogs, agility dogs, and for search and rescue work. So there you go.
Yeah, wow. I wonder if anyone has one in Australia. I'm sure someone.
But it's probably like one.
Yeah.
From one weird French dude that was like, I must bring my Barbet.
Look, same one weird French TBH. Dude.
Shout out.
That's
what I got.
Well, you know what he would have had to do if he brought his dog over?
Here we go. What?
Is get the dog vaccinated. That's my segue.
I think it's really appropriate that you messed up the segue there because it was not a flawless segue.
Hey, I try. So
I'll teach you.
We really support getting your dog vaccinated on the podcast, but I don't think we've really talked about why or what exactly vaccinations, at least in Australia, entail.
Are there anti-vaxxers for dog people? Whoa!
That's upsetting.
Where's my mom?
Not ideal. So I'm on finder.com.au to talk about puppy and dog vaccinations Australia.
Bam, ba, 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 bam.
Wasn't a segue, but I appreciate you.
No, but it was exciting, so I just need a little something. Oh, that was fancy.
Dogs need a number of vaccines to live a healthy healthy life. We break down, we being finder.com, we break down which vaccines are mandatory versus recommended and when your pup needs to get one.
There are recommended ones?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know about any of this.
Yeah, so I thought it was super interesting. We haven't really talked about it.
Let's do it.
So puppy and dog vaccinations cost in Australia, according to the RSPCA, for puppies, it's around $170 to $250 for all three rounds. This is dollars, talking about costs. and dog vaccinations are about $90 a year.
Which might sound like a lot, but honestly,
it's not. Especially if you adopt.
For the health of your dog.
If you adopt from places like the RSPCA, they are already vaccinated or they organize that for you. It's all included as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, a lot of adopting places, same with stuff like Greyhound Australia and all those kinds of things, they'll actually come vaccinated, ready to go. Mm. Do you know who doesn't come vaccinated, ready to go?
Who?
Pet store dogs.
This is true.
I was inquiring about a pet store dog recently. And they were like, oh, well, she's not vaccinated or de-sexed, so you'd have to like go sort that out.
That
so sucks. They're not – actually, that might be a lie. She was maybe only not de-sexed. But my point being, they don't always do the full lot, so you'd have to double check all the vaccinations and probably go get extras and boosters and stuff.
Yeah, and we support doggy health. So which vaccines does your puppy or dog need? The Australian Veterinary Association has identified two categories of vaccines dogs will typically need. These are core vaccines and non-core vaccines. So, core vaccines are vaccines for three life-threatening diseases that are extremely dangerous to your pup: canine distemper virus, canine parvovirus, and canine adenovirus or canine hepatitis. Your vet will give these vaccines in a single combination called the C3 vaccination, and your pup will need two or three rounds of the C3 between 6 and 16 weeks of age. The C3 is necessary for all dogs, no matter how they are raised or where they live in the world. Here's a little more detail about the diseases that the C3 is designed to stop. Canine distemper virus is a highly infectious, incurable, and possibly fatal viral infection that starts off by attacking your dog's respiratory system and can later attack the brain and spinal cord, leading to seizures and paralysis. Guys, these vaccines are so important. Canine adenovirus, or CAV, also known as canine hepatitis, is a virus that attacks the liver and kidneys, leading to jaundice, loss of appetite, and bleeding disorders. Most dogs recover, but side effects can last for a long time. Keep your dog healthy and it will be comfortable. Canine parvovirus or parvovirus is a highly infectious disease that lives in the feces of infected dogs and can remain in the environment for up to a year. Everything sucks. It attacks the digestive system, bone marrow, and immune system, which makes infected dogs even more susceptible to secondary infections. Your vet may also prescribe non-core vaccines for puppies that live in rural areas or are commonly boarded with other dogs. These non-core vaccines include parainfluenza virus. Wait, that's not what the vaccines include. It's like it's the vaccine
includes what
for.
It's vaccinating for.
Yeah,
good save.
Parainfluenza virus, which is contagious but not life-threatening, and is one of the causes of kennel cough. Aww, affects the respiratory system. Yeah. Yeah,
kennel cough is such a cute name, but
kennel cough
ends there.
Yeah. But it can be especially devastating to dogs with weak immune systems like puppies and older dogs. Usually given to dogs, this is interesting, who are frequently exposed to other dogs like those being boarded or those in a dog show. So if you have a dog show dog, definitely get the parainfluenza virus vaccine. Another one is Bordetella bronchi septica. I don't know whether I said that right, but it's another cause of kennel cough. Although this time a bacteria is to blame. Yeah. Like the one, like P1, which is, or PI. Oh yeah, PI, parainfluenza. Like PI, this is a non-life-threatening respiratory illness that is commonly found in dogs who are frequently exposed to other dogs. I didn't realize this. I didn't realize that there were vaccines you had to get for frequent exposure to other dogs. Question. Does that mean if you go to the dog park a lot and it's always busy, you need to get these vaccines? I don't know.
Ask your vet for more information.
Good one. And the third non-core vaccine you want to get is for Leptospira interorgans, which is LI. This is a bacteria that is spread through the urine of wild animals like rodents and through water that carries the urine. Therefore, it is more common in areas with lots of wildlife, high rainfall, or both. In many cases, the infection is mild, but in severe cases, it can lead to meningitis and death, which we don't want.
No.
If your vet thinks your pup needs these non-core vaccines, they'll give them to your pup at the same time as the C3. We've also got what is the difference between C3, C4, and C5, but feel free to check out the show notes and finder.com.au for that. because I wanted to go straight to, when do I need to vaccinate my puppy?
Yes.
So, the World Small Animal Veterinary Association, which is WSAVA, recommends that your puppy gets three rounds of the C3 between 6 and 16 weeks of age, as I said before. But definitely don't give your pup its last shot before 16 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. So ideally, the puppy vaccination schedule should look like 6 to 8 weeks, you get the C3, 10 to 12 weeks, C3 and C4 or C5 if the vet recommends it, and then at 16 weeks, C3 again. Important to stick to the schedule as closely as possible for a number of reasons, including the fact that you need to allow at least 4 weeks between each vaccination, the fact that you want to give your pup the final round of puppy vaccination no earlier than 16 weeks, because that's when the dog's immune system is most capable of responding to the vaccine, and that you want all three rounds of puppy vaccination completed as soon as possible so your pup can get out into the world and socialize freely. I love coming across people's puppies that are like puppies on their first walk. I'm always like, welcome to the world. I love you.
Which is why you always ask, because if it's their first walk and maybe they're still, you know, just going through vaccinations or they've just been through a lot, you maybe are not able to pet them yet. So please check before you just reach down and touch someone's dog.
For sure, in every situation. In terms of adult dogs, about 12 months after the second round of puppy vaccinations, when your dog is about 15 months old, they'll need their first C3 booster, which is essentially just another C3 shot like they got before. After that, they'll need C3 boosters every 3 years for the rest of their life. If your dog needs any of the non-core vaccines, they will need to get those annually starting at about 15 months old. And puppies get their first vaccination around 6 and 8 weeks. And then, final question, when can you let your puppy socialize? You have to be very careful about letting your pup socialize before they are fully vaccinated because of how easy it is for them to pick up one of the devastating illnesses mentioned before. So, here are some ways, my final tips for you to safely socialize your pup while sticking to the recommended 16-week vaccination schedule. Number one, get them used to the home environment. From the moment you bring the pup through the door, you should get them used to all the hubbub of the home. Great word.
You know what another great word is?
What?
Cahoots.
Cahoots.
You know when you're in cahoots with someone?
Oh, yeah. I don't say that enough.
I'm always in cahoots.
Be in cahoots with your dog and...
Wow, smooth as hell, girl.
And get them playing with your other pets and introduce them to a variety of stimuli like vacuum cleaners, different types of surfaces, and people wearing different clothing like hats. Poppy will always, in the car, bark at a bike rider or someone wearing a helmet.
Rude.
She was not...
What the hell, Poppy?
...introduced to helmets at an early age. So now she's like... Burr, 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 burr. Number two is take them to puppy socialization classes. It's fine for your pup to do some very limited socializing in a puppy socialization class as long as it is at least 7 days after the first vaccination.
Yes.
Make sure the facility where the class is held is completely clean and sanitized and that all other puppies are up to date with their vaccines.
Maybe don't go and ask though. Like that would be weird if you were like, is your puppy up to date? Is your puppy up to date? Maybe just make sure you go to a school that requires all the dogs to have a good vaccine.
Yeah. And then number three, have your friends bring their dogs to your home.
Dog party.
I want a dog party.
We don't have a dog.
Well, we'll get one and then have a dog party.
We've been trying to get a dog for like 6 months.
I know. It's just, you know how you need to be in the right financial situation.
Will you get me one for Christmas?
Oh, I so wish I would.
I want the dog and I want you to put it in a box 2 seconds before I enter the room so that I can open a dog for Christmas.
Maybe one day.
Just 2 seconds.
Though. As long as we know.
Be like suffering in there.
As long as we know following Christmas, we are completely financially capable of having a dog. Then yes.
I mean, if I stopped eating chocolate, it would be okay. I gotta choose.
I think it might be more than that. Responsible pet.
Rude. Ownership.
No, I mean, it's not about
that. Are you saying that I eat more than just chocolate? Because it's true.
Anyway, if you have friends
Wonderwall.
With fully vaccinated dogs, you can have them bring their dogs to your home. Just make sure it is at least 7 days after your pup's first vaccination. Whatever you do, avoid taking your puppy to dog parks or any other places where numerous other dogs commonly roam in this vaccination period. So that's
You ever be roaming?
Always be roaming, especially dog parks.
Don't be roaming though. I mean, you can be Roman. Shout out to our Roman listeners, but like...
I'm sure we have plenty.
Don't be Roman as in like Lady Gaga's Roman because she already did that.
I don't know what that means, but
Lady Gaga had an alter ego called Roman.
I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure. Am I wrong?
So that was puppy and dog vaccinations in Australia.
I confirm that now that I've did it.
Taylor's just having a Google of apparently...
I'm pretty sure his name was Roman.
Lady Gaga's alter ego. Does Lady Gaga have dogs?
Oh, no. Now I don't know what I'm talking about. Oh no, Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj's alter ego's name was Roman.
Of course.
I knew it was one of them. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. I clarified that.
I would also like to confirm that Lady Gaga does own dogs.
Lady Gaga's the coolest.
Cool.
I like her a lot. Okay.
Thank you
for listening.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, you guys.
I was listening to a podcast the other day that I listened to regularly that didn't do all their socials. And I was like, I wonder if I cannot do all my socials. And then I was like, nah. I should probably do my socials.
Go on then.
We are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. We are on Twitter. Floof and Popper, P-U-P-P-E-R. Floof is F-L-O-O-F.
You got
podcast. Yeah, I had a bit of a stroke halfway through. So go check us out. We love seeing You guys interact. We love seeing pictures of your dogs. We also, I just posted a little post about dogs with jobs or dogs in funny locations. So go check that
love
out.
That.
I definitely didn't do it in the middle of this recording because I was focusing, obviously. But go have a look.
Appreciate you.
And feel free to get in touch with us anytime. Thanks to That's Not Canon for hosting us once again. And
thank you.
Zane, back on buttons. Yeah. So you can just segue yourself, but like for us, it's much harder. I see how it is.
Also, feel free to shoot us an email, you guys, at floofandpapapodcast@gmail.com. I like getting emails from you guys. A lot. I'm doing a little dance because I like it.
Do it. All right. Everybody have a great week.
Pet a lot of dogs.
Cuddle. I hope you do.
A dog. And let us know if you'd adopt a dog. That'd be exciting. Yeah. Bork, bork, goodbye.
Bork, bork, goodbye.
'Hi there, my name's Jessica Kate.
And I'm Ellen Rose.
And we're the hosts of Murder in the Land of Oz,
a new Australian true crime podcast.
Yes. We're starting off in Brisbane, our hometown, because
Relatable.
We're going to be coming to you every second Monday.
So give us a listen, give us a like.
And a subscribe. Come and join us on our journey where we explore the depths of true crime Australia. Oh yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.